Recording right now. Oh my God, what a word. Let's begin.
Dude, do we have any episodes that don't start with us laughing?
No, not so.
Oh my goodness. I had to tail off a few of your laughs in the video because, like I'd cut the clip, but your laugh, like, I usually fade the audio out of whatever right. The last clip was. But it was like this Eddie cackle that goes through the whole thing, and I had to like shut it down.
My cackle, mate. It's one of those thing. Laughs.
I love it. It was like, man, I don't know if he wants that present.
I don't think anyone wants it that present. Every time I hear it, I'm like, is that me? Is that what I truly laugh like? But that's when I'm like, that's real laughter. Do you know what I mean?
It's
that's
real.
Happiness. Yeah,
I love
real.
It, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's
bro. Great.
It's just very abrasive.
What a week.
There we go. Slip in the old title. It's like you know when you're watching a film and they drop the film title in the film. That's
yep.
Nicely done.
Like nicely at some done. Point, the really, really hot chick in the red dress is like, James, it's a quantum of solace. And you're like,
yes.
You're I don't like, know what that ooh. Means, but that is the title of the movie. James is about exactly. to find out what a quantum of solace is.
Yeah. What a week, mate. What? I mean, jeez, man. Like it's been crazy. And like, since I got back, mate, I've been like, oh my God, like that actually happened. And I felt fine as soon as I got back. And then today's hit and I'm like, okay, jet lag. And then also just like the emotional crash from just like everything and just it all going well, you know, it was
yeah,
a crazy week.
Totally. It was definitely like a, I would say relief is the biggest thing because you and I had built this thing and Drum with Mike and Eddie has through the Patreon page and a few other things that has become bigger than a podcast, but it has been built on a little bit of a hope that maybe we would get along if we ever met. And because I don't consider like we've met once before this week and that was at NAMM, but I don't consider that real because it's still pretty hard to be yourself when you're surrounded by 20,000 drummers playing ride cymbals at full volume.
Yeah.
So it's exactly. like, yeah, we were cordial to each other, but I don't know if now you're going to live with me.
I know, literally live with you. I got back and my brother was like, so how was he? And I was like, yeah, he's amazing. Like, what do you mean? And like, I keep on forgetting that like we haven't hung out. Do you know what I mean? Like to everyone else, it's just like, oh, what, you stayed at his house? Like, how was that not a bit too much? And I'm like, no, like why would it be? But it's true, we actually haven't hung out. Like,
it was definitely an experience where anytime there was a like if we thought you were asleep, Amber would go, so how's it going? Like, it's yeah. fine, babe, everything's cool. And she's like, is he what you thought he'd be? I'm like, I didn't think he'd be anything. He's freaking yeah. Eddie, man. Like, it's I don't like, know. Like, you're making this awkward, babe.
Exactly. It's like a proper first date scenario, isn't it?
Totally.
Mate,
but it was
what,
good, man. We had a blast. Go ahead.
Coming off that plane, I was like, butterflies were kicking in, you know, running to the bathroom to brush my teeth, all that good stuff. Like, I can't believe, it reminded me of when me and Rona first, it was when I first saw Rona without makeup. She was dreading it. She was just dreading it. She was like, I can't have you see me like this. And I'm like, no, I prefer no makeup anyway. Do you know what I mean? But it reminded me of that. And I was like, okay, get a grip, Eddie. What am I doing? Do you know what I mean? I'm in the bathroom.
If it makes you
slap in my face.
Gotta look as good as I can after a 15-hour flight. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I went through 11 pieces of gum on the drive to the airport.
So my jaw was aching.
So we're good. All right, now that all of the listeners are completely creeped out,
I know.
Everything went well. We had an awesome hang. We, I hate to say it, but we did go on a long walk.
We did.
That was like one of the first things we did. Got some in and out. I think everyone that's watched our Instagram videos has kept up with all that. So let's get into everything else. So one thing that a lot of people don't know about is, first of all, we scheduled a clinic mainly so that we could get used to working together before we hosted a camp. I do want to say to all the patrons and to anyone that's considered becoming a patron through our Patreon page, we didn't charge the store a dime, like nothing, no hotels, no meals, and definitely no clinic fee. Now, I don't want to get too particular, but generally, two clinicians, you're probably looking at somewhere between $1,500 and $2,500. We didn't charge a dime for any of it. And that's because we have the financial support of the patrons. So to all the people that have supported since day one, to all the new patrons, thank you. Like the reason that everyone got to enjoy that clinic and we were able to do it, gas money, no hotels, all that stuff was basically because of the patrons.
Yeah, exactly. Which is crazy to think, you know, like just goes back to what I keep on saying. Like I'm so amazed at this community that we've built. Well, we've put together, everyone else has built, because it's that generosity that just goes so far, mate. Like yeah. You think just donating a little bit of money is towards our time, but it's not. There's such a bigger picture going on. And especially now lockdown and like COVID is, touch wood, like officially over. And we can start doing things like clinics all around the world. The borders are now fully open pretty much. Like you're donating for, well, towards things like that. So we can come to where yeah. you live and do a clinic, and we don't have to worry about, is it worth, you know, is it worth our time? Can we afford it? Blah, blah, blah. With the support of you guys, we can literally come to your house, mate. You know, we can come to your living room too, if you want.
I was just going to say, that is literally the freedom it gives us, is that your house, your backyard, your bar mitzvah, it's the same to us as a shop, because like one, I mean, most people don't know the ins and outs of clinics, but you get paid from the store, but you also get paid from your companies. I didn't charge Gretsch, Meinl, Vic Firth, or Aquarian. You didn't charge Tama, Zildjian, Evans, or Promark. Unless you did, then I'm going to be a little... Yeah.
They didn't even know I was there, mate. The only people who knew I was there was Zildjian. Shout out Zildjian for sending me some symbols, but they didn't arrive the same day. So that's all good. Yeah, no one even knew I was there, mate. And yet again, it just goes back to like the point we're trying to make. Like it gives us that freedom, that true freedom to just go, okay, cool. We're doing something next week. Let's do it.
We should do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's covered because of the patron group. So if you're considering becoming a supporter of this podcast, please do. It's a great group. We do lots of cool things together. We will be announcing our next Zoom hang later on in this episode. So we go to the clinic. And the clinic, you know, we talked about this already on the last episode of the podcast. Do that, give away the kit, everything's amazing, and then it's time for camp. So you had some butterflies for the clinic. Talk me through, basically, I do the first two classes of camp just uh-huh. so that you could observe and watch. And now it's time for me to be like, all right, your next class will be Eddie. He'll be up in 10 minutes. What's going through your mind? This is your first drum camp ever.
It's so hard to explain. It's like it's just like I was trying to think how I would feel going into it, like trying to plan for like every scenario. But just like a masterclass, just like a clinic, you can't really prepare for it. You just have to do it. And then you quickly learn, okay, this is how it feels. This is the flow of it. This is what they expect. And I mean, to be honest, mate, it was just massive imposter syndrome. Being like facing eight drummers who, you know, have paid to be there, have like taken time off work, taken holiday to be there. You know, it's your studio. You're the king of teaching. Like to see you in your flow, I was like, oh my God, I hope I can just live up to everyone's expectations. You know what I mean? And so it was just a roller coaster of emotions, to be honest. And what the first lesson, what I thought would happen did happen. Well, I had about half an hour of education planned and I got through it in about 6 minutes. And I'm thinking like, whoa now, like how am I going to make this last an hour? And it's so true. Like I remember the first time I spoke at a clinic, I had this huge sort of thing planned and thought out and written down at that point. And then you go to do it and the nerves are kicking in, the adrenaline is kicking in. You looking at people's faces and you can't tell if they're enjoying it or understanding it. So you just speed through it. You just think, yeah, right, let's just get through this bit. And that happened. And then I had to sort of rethink everything. And then the second lesson, I found my stride. But it's hard, mate. I think, you know, teaching is very, very difficult. So difficult. And there's a difference between being a good drummer and a good teacher. And I don't think there's a lot of people who are good at both. You're one of them. And it's just like, okay, cool. Let me just slow down, figure out how to say what I want to say. And find that balance between here's what you got to do. I'm going to show it. I'm going to explain it. And now it's your turn. And it was just a lot of like chucking myself in at the deep end, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's I mean, that's the only way to do it. Well, I have to say, you're one of them too. By the end of the camp, I think what had happened by the end of the camp was that you finally realized that your way of seeing things is extremely valuable to everyone. We had, you know, I mean, we had some pretty legit drummers in that camp. You know, we had, you know, Aaron's a Berkeley grad, and we had all these people that have just really put in the hours. These were pro drummers, and they were finding massive value. I to me, I hope the moment that clicked for you was the end of day one or end of night one. We're standing outside and I'm just asking everybody like, hey, how was your day? Give me a recap. And basically all of them said, I really enjoyed that thing that Eddie did in the second class. I really enjoyed that thing that Eddie did here. And it was like, you know, dude, these are legit players and they're finding value in the way that you see the world and the different take you have on it. And by the end, by day three, I was like, okay, Eddie's a legitimate educator now. And it was really fun to watch that thing take shape and watch you start to believe in yourself, because it was already there. It's like, you just have to believe in it. And that is something that we're always trying to give the listeners of this podcast is, you know, there's a lot of things like you playing with Youngblood or you playing with Busted. It's one of those things that you take for granted. Like, well, yeah, that's just what I do and everyone could do it. And it's like, well, no, most people would have 2 days to learn 10 songs to play in front of 100,000 people and just literally French kiss somebody with COVID to get out of it. They'd be like, I can't do this. I cannot do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, we kind of take those things for granted. I mean, it is... If you put it into reality, you're hanging out with me on my 109th camp while saying, I don't know, man, you're just so good at this. I'm like, am I? Or have I had 109 weeks to work on this and this is your first day ever?
Yeah, no, but you are there. Like,
you know, it's all...
You are very, very good at it, mate. And you know...
But it's because of the reps. It's the reps and I would say, if anything, the passion. I love... love teaching more than anything in the world. Mm-hmm. So even watching you was a lot of fun for me, because as I'm watching you, I'm thinking, okay, he's explaining things that I can already do on the drum set and I've never explained it that way. And I'm watching our campers and I'm watching it click for him and I'm going, okay, that's cool. I have to remember that.
Yeah.
What a great way to explain things. I have to now take that concept, develop it into my own thing. But I learned as much from watching you teach, you know, as you could have from me. So I thought that part was really cool. Can you, just since you were the one going on that part of the journey, what was the difference between class one, day one, and the last class on the day, on day three for you?
Oh, mate, a world apart.
Really?
I just in terms of like how I was feeling, you know, it's like, I think just imposter syndrome is just so real. In every part of being a drummer, and especially for me, it's like, okay, after, you know, just chatting to the boys and, you know, literally asking them like, how was that lesson for you? Did that make sense? Were you enjoying it? And hearing them say, yes, I love that bit. I love this bit. By the end of the sort of, well, the last lesson, I was like, oh man, I don't want this to end. I want to keep going. I want to like, just explain everything that's in my head. And that's the one thing that I found really difficult about being a teacher, not necessarily when like shooting videos at home, because I can just take as long as I want and piece it together and edit it and blah, blah, blah. But it's just trying to explain my thoughts in my head and my process and put it on paper for people to walk away with. Like instead of just explaining things, give people like a tangible thing, an exercise that maybe I've just done subconsciously over the years and years and years, but turn that into a physical thing that they can walk away with and practice. And by the end of the last lesson, I began to sort of go, this is how I can do it. This is what I can do. And just watching you do what you do, mate, I mean, one, it was just mind blowing, but second of all, it just helped me rethink everything that I do and how I can package it better and teach it and blah, blah, blah. But, it was amazing. Yeah. I truly loved it. And you know, just how you give information and how you explain it is so important. You know what I mean? And like I said, the whole Youngblood thing, I don't take that for granted, but teaching 8 people at your camp meant more to me. Do you know what I mean? As you know, oh, man, no, cool. No offense to Youngblood. I'm sure he's not
listening. Let's go with our... He might be. Let's go with our camp. It definitely wasn't my camp.
Okay,
it was our camp.
Okay. That meant more to me. So yet again, it just came down to pretty much all the waffling I'm saying. It just came down to, because, you know, came down to me caring. Just wanting to deliver and make sense. I waffle quite a lot and I just wanted to make sense and give people a new sort of outlook on something that they might have not heard before.
Yeah. And just giving value. You know, value is the big thing. They paid... It's funny, so for those that didn't attend the camp, everyone other than those eight people, we on morning one, we go to a coffee shop that's nearby called Sociology, which is brand new, but it became mine and Eddie's hang. And we got caught eating some sandwiches. They were filming us when we were...
I recorded that. I recorded that. That was so funny. We're like actual like two little... like kids, like being dropped
just
off.
Just came
like,
back from soccer practice.
Yeah, the local swimming pool, and we're like having chips for lunch, and we're like, chips, yay! Oh.
And we are literally pounding these sandwiches into our face, and then the owner of Sociology is just secretly filming us, throws it on Instagram with the backing track of Tom Sawyer by Rush. Like, it's cool to have two drummers that just look like fat turds.
Oh my God.
So anyways, we take the campers to Sociology, and basically I asked them, what do you want out of this week? And almost every one of them said the hang.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know if that was a surprise to you, but no one was like, well, I really want to work on my polyrhythmic feel.
Yeah.
Everyone said the hang. I just kind of, you know, and I was truly wondering, the reason why I took them there was because I knew who these people were. And it was like, most of you could teach this camp. So I'm honestly asking you, why are you here? Mm. And all of them said the hang. I just kind of want to be around other drummers.
Yeah,
for a few days.
That definitely like made me think differently, because I was like, yeah, that's the beauty of this instrument. We all know like what a paradiddle is, but if someone explains it in a different way, or someone shows you something they've done with it that you haven't done, it just relights that fire instantly, and you can sit on the drum kit for hours and hours and hours, for weeks and weeks and weeks, just from this one person saying, oh, do it like this. And it's just amazing. Yep. And it made me realize that this instrument is to be shared and to be around other like-minded people. And, you know, seeing the year and a half or 2 years that we've had, it was just the most amazing thing to witness. But yeah, I was surprised when people said the hang. I was like, sweet, let's just stay in Sociology then, mate. Let's just
have some turkey sandwiches. My man's in the back cooking fresh sourdough. Okay, so to wrap the camp up, it's night three. We've had this amazing experience with these campers. We've probably learned as much from them as they've learned from us. It's night three. We're hanging out at JW Wild's barbecue joint, and you and I hear some country on the PA system. And literally from across the table, we make awkward eye contact. And it was like, you wanted to play a country song tonight? So if you guys don't know, at the end of every night at my camps, we have what we call the nightly shed, which is basically we all go into the control room. It's a lot of drummers in a small room. One person heads out on the kit, and they play a song of their choice. But as the week goes on, it's not their choice anymore, because I feel like, okay, you guys are more comfortable with each other. Tonight's theme is bossa nova. Tonight's theme is 80s rock, whatever. And it just becomes looser and looser. It's a celebration that the evening is over and we just start having fun. So Eddie and I are like, hell yeah, we're doing country. So Eddie goes out, or I think I started with a Georgia Line tune. Yeah. Then you went out and played
The One on the Two. All right, listeners. Right, okay.
Here we go.
I don't even care about this making me look
You're
bad.
You're going to put it out there.
I'm going to put it out there. So the day before, right, I wrote a song and got like the campers to record drums to it. And I taught them through like my process of recording a rock pop song. And it was wicked. It was such like a hands-on creative. They got to listen to the track twice. And then they had to go and record it. And then I broke down everything that I did and why I think things should be done like this and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was sort of sat there on my throne looking like Mr. Session. Do you know what I mean? Here's how we do it in the big leagues, boys. You know what I mean? Prepare yourselves. Only a few can make it, right? And then next day, here we are, right? I'm just about to go play my country tune. It kicks in. I think I've nailed it. I just come in straight away. I'm sort of vibing. I look to my left and then look back. And then, I look again. And Mike's sort of going, signaling with his hands. And he's like... You might
flip it.
You might want to flip it, mate. You're playing the one on the two. You're completely off it. Oh, and I'm like, yeah, no worries, mate. No worries. Meant to do that. I was going for a sort of like displacement thing. You know what I mean? And it was just so funny.
It was so displaced.
Oh my God, mate. It was just the funniest thing. But that's what makes those nights, man. Like that part of the evening after dinner, it's just like your guard is down. Everyone makes mistakes. And it's not about that. It's not about playing perfectly and smashing it. It's about playing the one on the two.
I gotta say, in your defense, modern country drum samples, the kick and the snare are the same tone.
Yeah, it's I don't know what was going on.
I'm just trying to help you out, bro.
It was pretty rad.
But that's like, I mean, there's no drummer on the planet that hasn't experienced that at some point in time, privately or on a big stage. It was just your chance to do it while live streaming on mikeslessons.com in front of a bunch of drummers that you had just told them, this is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
0.1% of all drummers will make it in the session industry, and I'm one of them. So fire up that country.
So get your notepads out, play boys, backwards. Because I tell you what, this is golden information.
Here comes the nuggets. Good. So that was the end of camp. We had a blast. Everybody. And then after that, everybody was like, yeah, let's play a country tune. And so it became this country theme. And it was so much fun. I just have a memory of you and David sitting outside the control room. I've got the speaker pointed at you guys. I'm taking pictures of everybody. And we're just like, you know, muting each other's cymbals and we're kicking stuff. It was a blast. So if any of you want to be a part of this in the future, just know that we're definitely going to do another one of these camps, if not more, in 2022. And if you think you have a venue where we could host a camp like this anywhere in the world, please contact Amber at mikeslessons.com. We are willing to do it. We want to be able to do this. We just, you know, it's very hard to find a place like my studio that is honestly built just for drum camps. So that's why I tend to do so many camps here. It's a turnkey solution. You walk in, there's 8 practice kits for the campers. There's a private room that we can all jam in. There's a recording studio. There's a back room that they can practice on electric kits. So a lot of times people are like, oh, you should do it in, you know, Bangladesh. And I'm like, at a rec room? Like, where do you want me to do this? Yeah. Like, I have something it took me a decade to build this thing specifically for camp. So we do want to do it other places. I think another recording studio could be awesome.
Yeah, that would be amazing. You know, yeah, that would be amazing.
Fun for sure.
But yeah, in a nutshell, mate, I mean, I could talk about it all day long. It was like coming home from like the best tour ever without any of the shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, how was the traveling? There was none. How was the shitty food? There was none. It was just like, when you mentioned the whole, what do you call it? Post-camp depression.
Oh, PCD, post-camp depression.
It's true. Very real. I was like, mate. But saying that, now I just feel so motivated to just go and play drums and practice drums. Like watching you teach, I'm not going to lie. Some of the stuff, I was like, okay, let me pretend I need a glass of water to get out of this situation right now. Do you know what I mean? Let me pretend I need my fifth glass of water in 20 seconds just so I don't actually have to practice and play this in front of everyone else. It made me realize I've got some areas in my playing that I want to get better at. But in a nutshell, it was so good. And I cannot recommend people getting involved and signing up, not just to mine and Mike's, like Mike's camps that he does. They're probably already sold out, but it is truly just like life-changing, mate. Anyway, enough of me waffling. You just put up an absolute movie on YouTube, mate. An absolute movie. And it's it's an emotional one, yet again.
Bro. I have to skip the middle. And whilst editing that footage, out of nowhere is this wide shot from Bentley's of you and I air drumming together. And I was like, I don't remember that happening.
Even do I.
Like, I'm like basically sitting on your lap air drumming a Biffy Clyro tune. I don't remember that happening. But so just put up the video of giving away my kit at the clinic, why I gave it away, and then basically unboxing and getting my new kit. And so just a short recap. I had Gretsch about a little over a month ago, or maybe 2 months ago, start working on my new kit, which is a brand new Gretsch Broadcaster. If you don't know what the Broadcaster is and how it's separate from the other lines, Basically, it's the only three-ply shell that Gretsch makes currently. So until the 1950s, or late 50s, early 60s, all of Gretsch's drums were three-ply shells. And so this is a maple, poplar maple, three-ply shell, very vintage, so pre-60s type of shell with what they call like a round-over edge. So there's no sharp edge. Like right. Most bearing edges have a 45 degree, or like my snare has a double 45 degree. Well, that bearing edge, what happens is the sharper the bearing edge is, the less of the drum or the least amount of the drum is touching the mylar or the drum head.
Right.
When you have a very little amount of drum touching the head, like a double 45, then you're getting all click, all attack, all snap. As you round out that bearing edge, it's more of the drum making contact with the shell and it warms up the sound. And so if you want a warm sound, you want rounded bearing edges. If you want attack, everything's right in your face, clicky, note for note, you hear every little bit of definition, then you want sharp bearing edges. I love rounded bearing edges on toms and bass drums. My snare drum, my signature snare with Gretsch, has double 45 because in snares, I like the snap. Mm-hmm. I like the attack. But in toms, I like the warmth. In bass drums, I like the warmth because I don't have a very triggered sound. I have a somewhat warm sound. So anyway, so I wanted a Broadcaster. They made it. When we were talking about this with me and Gretsch, they said, so what are you going to do with your old kit? Are you going to have two blue sparkle kits? And I just thought like how I would have kept the 1960s Gretsch if it was any other color than blue sparkle. Mm-hmm. But the thought of like doing a YouTube video and somebody being like, so is that the 60s kit or the brand new kit? I'm like, well, if you look closely at the badge, you can see the badge is a little more brown. So clearly it's the 60s kit. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
So I just thought, I think I'm going to give it away. So everyone knows the story. We gave it away. That video is now up on YouTube. It shows the person that got it. And dude, the man nails his song in front of everybody. We talked about it on the last episode, so we don't have to go too deep, but it's pretty crazy. So after, basically, because I knew about post-camp depression, I had scheduled the pickup of my new kit in Los Angeles at the DW factory, which is where Gretsch's warehouse is. I scheduled that pickup the exact same time. Like, I got in the car when you took the Uber out of here.
Yeah, I bet.
I hugged you and I was like, that's it. I'm not going back in that studio because if I go back in, it's going to be empty. The campers are gone. Eddie's gone. A tumbleweed is going to roll through like it's the wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. I can't handle this depression. So I just got in my car and drove down to LA, spent the night there. And then in the morning, woke up and went to go pick up the kit. And then basically filmed a little bit of the adventure. My first time ever putting a GoPro on top of my car.
Looked great. Looked great. I loved it, mate. I loved it. If people knew the effort you went just for those little, you know, those little clips, mate. Do you know what I mean?
One and a half seconds of footage of just taking the exit. By the way, now I understand aerodynamics. When you put a GoPro on the hood or the roof of your car, wow, is it loud.
It
was like, dude, I was like, oh, okay. I've completely ruined the aerodynamics of my car with this GoPro. But get there. And I had asked Gretsch, can you please let me do the unboxing in your warehouse? They were like, absolutely not. We're going to do it at the drum channel because we need the microphones. We need the controlled lighting. You're going to have forklifts going on in the background. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's
and the reason why I wanted it in the warehouse, one, it's for the sound. I wanted to bond with this kit. It was so important to me. I've just done so many unboxings in the lobby here at mikeslessons.com. Mm-hmm. So excited. I take the drum out. It looks gorgeous. And I hit it and it sounds exactly like a drum. And there's just nothing special. And then it takes me a week to bond with that kit. I knew this was probably going to be, you know, a fairly public thing that I'm giving away my old kit. I'm getting this new kit. I kind of need to hold on to this kit for a long time. Otherwise, there's just no commitment on my end. So I wanted to bond with this kit. So I wanted it to be set up in the warehouse where there'd be like this ambient reverb. But the other thing is, what is in storage warehouses? Well, there's cardboard boxes. What color are cardboard boxes? They're brown. What color is my kit? It's the other end of the color spectrum, blue. I didn't want the blue kit without anything to balance out how blue it is. I wanted all the aisles going down the side of me to be brown and orange tint that would make the blue of this kit stand out even more. Oof. So I get there. It looks like the most boring hallway ever. I set up the camera going straight down. And I'm like, this is the most epic shot I've ever seen.
It's sick, right? I love it.
It's just a hallway, but it works.
It works very, very well. How long were you playing in the warehouse for?
I did two short solos. So I did the one that's actually in the video, mm-hmm. and I did the one that's happening during the unboxing.
Right. Okay. Cool. Hard to get off the kit. It must have been so hard.
It was. Oh my God. It sounded so good in there. You know, I mean, we had no, I didn't use any muffling. The drums, both toms have internal muffles. I didn't use those at all. We did put a DW pillow in the kick, but I actually didn't have it touching either the head. So there's like some resonance in the kick. Mm-hmm. And it was just epic. But the other thing was, I needed that unboxing to happen. They were not happy about this. I mean, they were fine, but they were like, well, usually we do every drum. And I'm like, don't they kind of look the same, but in different sizes? Let's do one drum.
Yeah.
At no point is it like, and the floor. Like, I can't stand how long unboxing videos take. So I think the whole unboxing is under 15 seconds. I
mean, yeah, it's great though. It's all you need. It's like, you know, that's why the second verse is in a lot of pop songs are halved. It's like, don't bore us, get to the chorus. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. We understand, singer guy, that you have to tell us this story, but we really don't care. We just need you to repeat the thing you did earlier
just
in the song.
Just get to the juicy stuff, mate. Yeah. I should have dropped that in the recording class. I didn't. Good job I didn't, because it would have made the country thing a lot worse.
This is... All right, gather around, guys. Session drummer Eddie Thrower is about to tell you how we do this.
I'll show you tomorrow night.
We did that. And then, then I just came home and edited the whole thing during Thanksgiving, because Amber's out of town. We were like two ships passing in the night. I got home from LA. She took off where her family is in LA. And so she's in LA right now. I'm with three dogs and it's pure mental.
I bet it is.
And it was a blast, man. So we had a good time, but that kit, which is now here at the studio, and let me tell you, 3-ply shells, once you see it on your phone, they all sound the same. They sound mm-hmm. like drums. This kit feels so different. This is the same shells, or these are the same shells that was on the right side of the practice room when we were doing camp.
Right, okay.
And they just feel different. Like there's a springiness to the toms that 3-ply shells have, and it's a really cool thing. So I've only played it a little bit on the stage here, but it's an addictive drum set. So I'm looking forward to like bonding with it even more. But that video is up on YouTube now as well as Instagram. What a week.
It's crazy, mate. I mean, summarizing it like that, it's just flipping hell, man. I can't wait for more of them, mate. I can't wait for just more weeks like this. And I was saying to Rona, like, I've come back and I'm just more chilled. I'm like, oh,
really?
God, I just needed it, mate. After the last year and a half, I keep on saying year and a half. It's probably more like 2 years of just craziness, mate. I mean, look what happened to the world, and look what happened to musicians and drummers specifically. Like, just nothingness. Like, people left thinking, what am I doing? Why am I investing so much time into this instrument? And then all it takes for something like what happened to us and for us and with the campers to be like, oh, this is my living. This is my passion.
Yeah.
And it's fucking amazing. Do you know what I mean? And I don't have to like doubt 100%. Anything, and it all makes sense, and it's just wicked, mate. So I've come back just with exactly what I wanted to happen. Just like focused, inspired, just more relaxed and just not so tense about it all. Do you know what I mean? Just like, okay, cool. I'm a drummer. That's what I do. Instead of thinking for the last year and a half, what am I doing? It's like, what I do.
Yeah. And I think it also being in that specific camp with such great players, it also reminded me that there's room for all of us.
Oh, like, mate. Yeah.
It's, you know, no one's ever going to be the best. You have a possibility, if you practice hard enough, of being someone else's favorite. But how can you pit two artists against each other? So it's not a competition like that. The competition is within ourselves, and the dream is that we beat ourselves every week or so. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm better now than I was 1 week ago. And when I'm not, the cool thing is it's not because I'm slipping. It's because I didn't put in the hours.
Exactly.
And so that's it, right? Yeah. And so the cool thing is there's always the most simple solution. I hate to say it, but 90% of all questions I get asked on Instagram and through DMs can be answered with me saying, you could practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be the answer to everything. Like, hey, I really want to get better at this. It's like, you could practice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and I know the reason why I'm saying that is not to be rude about DMs. I'm saying that because that's the answer that I have to tell myself sometimes. When I, you know, even watching you play during the clinic, it's like, oh, why did I let him go first? Like, I can't play like that. I have no shot. But then it's like, well, if you wanted to play like that, Mike, you could practice. And then I also had to remind myself, well, he just played. The last thing they need me to do is be like, Ed, can I have your laptop? I'm gonna just bang out some LTA tracks real quick.
Exactly.
He just played.
Exactly.
I'll do my thing.
That's what I love about this instrument, man. And like, you know, as far as say if someone wants to be like a drum teacher or, you know, I don't know, just move this into more of a career than it is for someone, like, it's crazy, mate. There is room for everyone. And that's what I've realized. Yeah. You know, like you've got you on stage teaching and then I come up and I do my bit. And it's like, you know, you teach differently and learn differently. And it's there's a point in my thinking where I'm like, oh my God, this is, who am I? What can I possibly give? Yeah. And like you said, it's all about how you do things and how you do things differently that makes things amazing. You know,
Yeah,
I love it, man.
And giving the students the opportunity to realize that they're the ones that get to do things different. And so when we basically, like you said earlier in this episode, giving them the paradiddle, and these are all advanced, if not pro drummers, and saying, all right, single paradiddle, everybody, you have 15 minutes to do something with it you've never done before. That's what, you know, at that level, that's what it's all about is like, look, you're going to have to dig deep. I don't want you to show me your coolest paradiddle lick that you already have. I want you to go and explore, because me caring about you doing something with the paradiddle, that's not a thing. I couldn't care less. What I do care about is you find an idea that inspires you, and then instead of borrowing it or sampling it, then you think, okay, I'm going to dig deep into those six notes or those five notes or those four notes, and I'm going to create an entire encyclopedia of my own vocabulary out of that. That's what it's about at that level.
Yeah, man. I love it. You know, it's just about being creative. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Sometimes as a drummer, you know, it's like looking at Mount Everest, just sitting at this, you know, standing at the bottom going, how do I get this to the top? And it's like, mate, just do what you do and just try and be as creative as possible with it. Do you know what I mean? I love that. Like this whole paradiddle example. Just try and do something different with it. I'll see you in a year. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it was
That's
amazing.
It. All right. Well, let's get into a listener question. One of the perks of being a patron is you can submit your questions. So if you are a patron and you want to submit a question, all you have to do is record yourself and then email it to mike@mikeslessons.com and we will use it on the podcast. It's just a great way, even though text questions are fantastic, hearing your voice makes it so much more personal.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, the man that's about to ask this question has a great voice. So here is a question from Mr. Eric Stewart.
Hey guys, Eric Stewart from Chicago. My question is basically a simple one. How can I become a better musician or a more musical drummer? I've always had a hard time actually playing to music. When I try to play to a song on Pandora or Spotify, within the first couple of bars, I start reaching into the kit bag and start looking for things that feel good, that might match the song. And I start throwing all sorts of things against the wall to see if it sticks. The ADD kicks in, and before long, I've completely lost the plot on the song. I play by myself in my drum room. I am not a member of a band. I don't play with other musicians, and I think that that's really detracted from me from actually developing into a full-fledged musician. So the question becomes, given that environment, how can I become a better musician, and how can I become much more comfortable actually playing to music? You guys have done a great job. Really impressed. I love listening to you guys. Keep up the good work. Cheers from Chicago.
Great question. I think you can become a good musician without playing with other people, even though I think it's really important. You should try to, especially record with other people. I think you should really study one genre. For example, like, I don't know, rock and pop, and analyze what the drums are doing and really listen to the music. That's something that I try to do when I'm learning like new songs, is listen to the music, acknowledge the drums, but really, really, really listen to the music, the dynamics, the build-ups, what the guitar's playing, what the vocals are doing. So that's a really, really important tip. Just really, really listen to the music. Don't get obsessed with listening to the drums. Focus on like how people transition through different sections, you know, from the verse into the bridge, into the first chorus, out of the chorus, into the verse. There's a few similarities that always happen. And then I would also focus on discipline, you know, really, really focus on like, okay, I'm going to learn this song note for note, like note for note, no improvisation. Even if it's dead simple, even if you think it's boring, I think you can learn a lot as a drummer through a slight bit of discipline. It's so easy to be bored and just play and blah, 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 but you're just not learning anything at that point. You know what I mean? Like all the things that I've learned about recordings and structures and like session work in the studio and live, apart from country, obviously, is through discipline. Do you know what I mean? Like it's through like, I have to play it like this. There's an MD watching me, or this is going live on TV. I have to learn this. And you become a better musician by doing that, you know? So there's my sort of two things, like focus on like, let's say rock and pop, study what the drummer's doing, what the music is doing, and then learn things note for note. And you'll quickly become a better musician that way, in my opinion.
100%. I think that by transcribing one song, just like you mentioned, you learn so much. If you were to go through, say, the song Vultures by John Mayer, if you went through that song and transcribed it, you would be shocked at how few crash cymbals there are. Or One Headlight by the Wallflowers, you'd be shocked at how few fills there are in these massive mega hits. And so by doing that, you start to learn what the role of the drummer is. And the most important thing is understanding, what is my role here? Like when I'm playing, if I'm playing samba, I'm not thinking that my role is to lock it down and really just, you know, lock with the bass player. I'm thinking my role is to make people enjoy the moment, to help them party, to have fun. If I'm playing, let's say, some salsa music, my role is to help people dance. This is dance music. People are dancing to this step for step. I can't just vibe on the clave and be like, it's clave-like. It's like, well, no, people's left feet land with this. And she's wearing high heels. You don't just move that thing. Like, it's got to be there. And then if I'm playing rock, it's like, well, if I'm in a Deftones cover band, what is my purpose as a drummer? It's to rock with my fellow musicians. If I'm playing pop, what's my purpose? To lock. It's to lock with the music more than anything, to accentuate the vocals, or to sometimes know when to stay out of the way. So knowing your role in the specific genre is super important. And then the other thing, Eric, is, you know, I think sometimes we think I'm either in a band or I'm not in a band. Dude, I know you. I know your drum room. You have literally one of the coolest drum rooms on the planet. Just jam with a person. You don't have to be in a band. Just invite a guitar player over the house. Invite a bass player over the house. Because the thing is, when you start jamming to music on Pandora or whatever, you start off with the best intentions. ADD kicks in, you get a little loose, nothing bad happens.
Yeah.
No one gives you any bad looks. As soon as you get a little loose and get a little saucy with a human in the room, it goes bad for you. But when you stay the course and you lock it down, you start to get really addicted to those smiles from the bass player, from the guitarist, from the MD, that head nod where they go, hey, thank you for doing your job. That becomes as addictive as any chop or lick.
Yeah, man. And it's not about what you're playing, it's how you're playing it. And like all these feels, 100%. When people are like, oh, I just don't know what to do feel-wise, I'll tell you now, it's singles. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you know what I mean? It's that simple. It's that sort of basic, but it's how you make those simple notes sound. It's how you make them gel, and it's how...
It's where you play them.
Yeah, it's how you create melody from like simple stickings. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, to go back to Mike's point, you know, when you are jamming on your own, nothing bad happens. You just don't learn that way. I think it's really, that's why I'm saying, like, just add a little bit of discipline within your practice or jam time and you'll learn a lot. There's no way on earth I would have learned what I know. Oh, mate, this is so funny. So just saying what I know about recordings and then knowing the country thing, like, this is just going to be a running joke on this podcast now. but there's no way I would know the things that I know and are comfortable recording or learning songs like the Youngblood thing if I didn't chuck myself in the deep end and just gave myself some discipline. Do you know what I mean? Just really studied the small things, like no crashing out the chorus. Such a simple thing, but like as soon as you know it and as soon as you do it, it makes such a big difference. So yeah, there's a few little nuggets there for you, mate.
I got to say that you've just listened to you teach when you're here at camp. You did a really good job about recognizing the tendencies of your idols. You know, we talk a lot on this podcast how your two main idols growing up were Travis Barker and Lars. And I heard you mention during the camp that Lars, like you learned from Lars to crash on the two, mm-hmm. to go over the bar line. That's not, so many people would just let that go past them and they'd still crash on the one and let Lars crash on their two.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, I'm crashing on the one. I don't care. And it's like, no, but this is a tendency. He's not doing this because he doesn't know where the one is. He's doing this for a reason. It's building an anticipation and then it's releasing the tension after that. Mm-hmm. And there's an emotional reason to do this. I talk about Phil Collins, my idol growing up, always changing the subdivisions into the chorus and then back to the verse. So the fill that goes into the chorus ramps up from maybe 16th to 16th note triplets. Flat da 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 shika da booga da boom. Now we've launched into the chorus, but to come back down, it might be shika da booga da 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 doom doom ka. No crash.
Yeah.
So it's like those things are tendencies that we have to recognize rather than I learned a fill from Phil Collins, but I don't know why. I never took the time to analyze why they did that. Like to me, that's the biggest thing is, well, I know what you played. I just have to figure out why you did that.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, maybe this should be something for a future episode if we haven't done it already. But choices to me are the things that separate all the great players from each other. Because I always think, well, yeah, I can do that thing that drummer just did, but I wouldn't have chosen to do that. And that's why I respect them. That's why they got that gig and I didn't, is because of their choices.
Yeah, man. It's a big one. It's a big one.
We can all play. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. Well, yeah, but what do you choose to do with your, you know, basically like what Eric said, with your bag of tricks, with your arsenal, do you show up to a simple, you know, soccer friendly and pull out, you know, like cleats and you go all crazy and it's like easy Pele, let's just slow down a little bit.
Exactly,
it's just some dudes kicking a ball around.
Exactly, mate. I mean, if I think about the sessions that I've done, if I turned up and started giving them some sauce and some flipping six stroke roll action, that, you know, the producer sat there being like, I like going back to this choices thing, it's like, I know you can do that, mate, but this, you just, that's the wrong choice for this. And now I'm annoyed and now I'm thinking I've got the wrong person into it. Do you know what I mean? It's not
100%.
It's not about what tricks you can pull out of the bag. It's about acknowledging the musical situation. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I hope that helps, Eric. And there you go. I'll just cut you off right there.
I wish I didn't mention that country thing.
Bro.
I'm joking. Dude. I don't care.
We've all been there and it humanizes you that it's like even somebody that says, gather around, lads. Let me tell you how the big kids do it. Jumping on the wrong beat.
So good. So good.
But so what do you think about a Patreon hang this time next week? So next Saturday.
I cannot wait, mate. I cannot wait. Let's do it.
You were just saying, I cannot. And I'm like, okay.
I cannot do that one. Yeah, I can't. No, I'm proper excited now because aren't we going to do what we said last time where two people teach? Okay, beautiful.
Two of the patrons will be teachers. You and I will teach some pad stuff and two of the teachers will teach. How do you feel about a 4 p.m. English time, 8 a.m. California time?
Beautiful. Let's do it, mate. Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Well, if you want to be a part of that Zoom hang happening 1 week from now, head on over to Patreon. I just burped. Head on over to patreon.com/drumwithmikeandeddie. Please consider supporting this podcast. which will apparently, according to Eddie and I, allow us to come do a drum clinic at your house.
Yeah, let's do it. Mate, LTA did that once. So we did a tour for Monster.
They're the best.
And we did like a party tour. We Living did a house sessions. Party. And then we did like a kid's birthday party. And when I say it was a kid's birthday party, mate, it was like actual birthday cake. And like it was...
Shut up.
Mate, it was so funny. We were like to the dad, like, are you sure... your neighbours won't mind. And then we did like, yeah, it was good times, mate. But joking aside, genuinely, mate, like, you know, if you have a cool space, you have a cool little thing going on wherever you are in the world, email Amber and let's get it going, mate.
Amber@mikeslessons.com. All right, everybody, have an amazing day. But for now, episode 65, What a Week is in the Can.
The guns was a big mistake, mate. I mean, I have never done the guns ever in my life. It was like one in front of the other. Like, what am I doing? I was.